today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Emerson Collins, on Bring Your Bible to School Day.
Because you are exercising your First Amendment rights. You are protected under the law to participate and bring your Bible to school day. But not every teacher, not every principal, not every family member knows that.
Emerson Collins, next. Coming up, Spencer Dahlke talks with Focus on the Family's Emerson Collins about last week's Bring Your Bible to School Day. It's aimed at empowering Christians to live out their faith. This year's verse is James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Tell us a little bit about what you do with Focus on the Family first.
Yeah, so program manager for of parenting and youth at Focus on the Family. And I have the joy of running two awesome programs, Bring Your Bible to School Day and the Live It Challenge, which I'm super excited and jazzed to just talk about with you today. I want to focus in on Bring Your Bible to School Day. That's all right. That started in 2014. And it started with the goal of celebrating two of the most important freedoms that we can have in this life. The first being the freedom that we have in Christ, that he came down, he lived, he died, he rose again so that we can have relationship with the Father and freedom from sin and death. And so that freedom's worth celebrating, worth sharing. That's why we have Bring Your Bible to School Day. And then our second most important freedom is our freedom of speech here in the United States of America. We don't have to look too far to see our brothers and sisters across the globe who are suffering because they don't have the same protections we have here in the United States. And so that is a freedom worth celebrating. And that's why we created Bring Your Bible to School Day, to celebrate both of those awesome freedoms that we have.
I understand also that you guys are expanding the event to include adults in the workplace. Is that right?
We are, yeah. So we created Bring Your Bible Day for adults to participate as well. It started as Bring Your Bible to School Day in 2014, but just last year we launched Bring Your Bible Day because every single year we heard students who were hesitant to participate until mom or dad or an older sibling said, hey, I'll bring my Bible to work or I'll bring my Bible to my college campus if you bring your Bible to school. So it became a Bring Your Bible Day with the whole family. So we started Bring Your Bible Day to get adults involved. And last year we just saw incredible involvement across the board from young adults to grandparents bringing their Bibles to the gym, to the grocery store, all the places that they went to the cafe. And so we want adults to participate as well to make it a Bring Your Bible Day.
What's the vision for this event?
Well, the vision is, apart from celebrating those two freedoms, the vision is really to administer the healing balm of the gospel to a hurting nation, a hurting culture, and especially right now with everything that's going on, we so desperately need the gospel in our workplaces, in our schools. And so the encouragement by Focus on the Family is for students to step out, for adults to step out in faith and trust that the Lord wants to use them to shine his light and bring his healing and hope to our culture.
I guess it started off as a thing that took place in the classroom. Students, I trust, would maybe have a hard time communicating their faith, especially in like the public school system. How has that kind of played out? And what advice and wisdom would you offer to students who are wanting to bring their Bible to school?
So if you're a student listening or maybe a parent of a student, I encourage you, even if you're maybe not the best at talking or having conversations, I encourage you to check out our website, bringyourbible.org. We have conversation guides right there. We also have answers to some tough questions you might get about Christianity or theology. But more than that, I just want to encourage everyone who's thinking about participating that you have the Holy Spirit inside you and you have the God of the universe who loves you, who is with you. Time and time again, we read in scripture about the people, the men and women of faith who God commands to not be afraid because he is with them. And so that's my same encouragement for you. That's God's encouragement for you. Even for the disciples, when Jesus told them when they go into a new town and they don't have the words to speak, that the Spirit would give them the words to speak. So I trust that for everyone participating as well. And hey, if you don't have all the answers, it's okay to just be genuine, be humble, and to admit, hey, I don't have the answer, but let's go find the answer together. I encourage students, if you're listening right now, or parents of students, if your child's nervous about getting a tough question that they don't know the answer to, my response would be to say, hey, I don't have the answer to that, but would you come to youth group or to church with me and we can ask my pastor together? And that immediately just continues the conversation and extends an invite for them to see the love that exists between believers. That's how we're known.
You guys at Focus on the Family, I think, reported some pretty encouraging statistics about people who participate in this event. Would you care to tell us a little bit about that and how you gather that data?
yeah, of course. So so started in 2014, and that year we had 8,000 students participate. And just last year, 2024, so 10 years later, we had 1.2 million students participate, which is incredible. God has just really taken this and grown it immensely, which is awesome. And then this year, we actually, with everything that's going on, we weren't sure if we would see a minor drop in participation and signups, or if we'd see a major increase. And praise God, we've actually seen that major increase. We've already met our signup goal. We've surpassed it by thousands. And so praise God, Christians are seeing the hurt in our culture right now, and they're being quick to pick up their Bibles and say, okay, our culture desperately needs this message of hope. So it's grown incredibly. But some of the stories that you're kind of you were alluding to, Spencer, we see stories upon stories on the first Thursday of every October. I encourage everyone, if you want to see some of these encouraging stories I'm about to mention, go to our socials, Bring Your Bible, and use our hashtag Bring Your Bible, and you'll see some of these stories, like David Griggs. He's in Tennessee, a second grader who participated a couple years ago, and he brought his Bible to school, and his teacher saw it on his desk and decided, hey, I'm going to use that during reading time for today. And so she read the story of Noah to the class, and afterwards, the students were so intrigued that David decided to start a Bible study, where now, so we're 2 years later now, he has continued this Bible study every week after class. I believe it's on Wednesdays. He and his kids in his class, they go and they play tag for 10 minutes, and then they read the Bible together on the playground. And so what a just incredible, heartwarming story from David. We get stories, hundreds of stories like this every first Thursday of October, of students stepping out in faith, of adults stepping out in faith, and seeing people come to faith through it. So trust the Lord will use you.
I'm considering, especially like in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, has really profoundly kind of shaken up American culture. And it seems like there is a movement to the gospel's kind of like seems to be taking root in American culture again. Do you think that's the case? And how could Bring Your Bible to School Day be an opportunity to continue that?
I do think that's the case, Spencer. And yeah, there was this kind of period, even in my own heart, where I was feeling this deep despair and seeing everything that was happening. And on top of that, you know, we had some other things happen in our culture that are just so disheartening lately. And there was this unrest, and even in my own heart, I was like, what do we do? What do I do now? And this event, but I even trust that the Lord way back in 2014 knew that everything was going to happen right around this time this year. And I believe events like this one are the answer, not really the event itself, but the taking our Bibles and administering again the healing balm of the gospel to our culture. That is the answer for Christians. And so I praise the Lord that we have events like this one, and events like See You at the Poll, which just happened recently. It's the perfect 1-2 for schools, that you can pray for your school, and then you can go into your school with the Bible, and you can share it with your friends, with your fellow students. So my encouragement, it really is just that the timing right now, our culture so desperately needs the gospel, the Bible, this message of hope and life that we're really hurting for, and we see around us quite frequently.
I think it would be naive to say that this sort of thing would happen without a little bit of pushback, because obviously, you know, the devil does not want this sort of thing to happen. He does not like it when the gospel goes out. What sort of pushback have you seen from students, adults, family members who bring their Bible to school, to work?
So every once in a while, there are some stories of pushback. That's why we've partnered with our friends, the Alliance Defending Freedom, because you are exercising your First Amendment rights. You are protected under the law to participate and bring your Bible to school day. But not every teacher, not every principal, not every family member knows that. And so that's why we, on our website, bringyourbible.org, we have a 3-page legal memo for students to respectfully print off and hand to their teacher or principal, who maybe does tell them that they can't participate or they won't have that in their classroom. Actually, you can, and you're protected to do so. So we want to work with you. We want to talk to those teachers, talk to those principals, and inform them of your First Amendment rights. So every once in a while, we do get some stories of teachers who confiscate students' Bibles and whatnot. But we always follow up and we work with them to make sure first they get their Bible back, but then also that they can exercise their rights, because we do have those freedoms here in the U.S. And those are worth celebrating, highlighting, and of course, exercising.
I could imagine students. Maybe they might not want to do it because they don't know how to defend their faith. I imagine students also, because we all like to overthink a lot, don't we, about things that maybe aren't even true. Maybe students might think they would get bullied for bringing their Bible to school day. Do you think that's accurate? Like, do students get bullied, or how would you encourage students to step out in faith and just trust God with, just bring your Bible to school and we could talk about it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that I've seen kids bullied for less, unfortunately, in the school space. And mm-hmm. I have a son, an 8-year-old son, and I would be lying if I said that wasn't a concern of mine as well as a parent. I want him to make friends. I want him to get along with the other kids. But even more than that, I want my son to be proud to be a follower of Jesus. And I want his identity not to be found in the swaying culture as what's cool and what's not cool, but in the unchanging truth of Christ. And so as a parent, I need to come to terms with, there will be some things that my son, I pray, loves and stands for in the midst of our changing culture. And so my encouragement for parents that are worried, or for students that are worried about maybe facing some pushback, is again, that the Lord is with you, that he's going to use you to be an impact for Christ in the gospel. The same nervousness you're probably feeling is the same nervousness that Moses was likely feeling before he went into Egypt and he was called to do even much more than just bring his Bible. So God is with you. He's going to use you. And again, it just affirms that your fellow students, your friends, really need Jesus. So have a heart of kindness towards them. Scripture's clear. We don't respond from evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. So pray for those students that may be persecuting you in school or bullying you. They need Jesus especially. Yeah, so go and give it. Go and give them heaven.
I'm glad you brought up the example of Moses, because like, hey, yes, he was before Pharaoh. My gosh, yeah. Which is a lot bigger than just taking Bible to school, but also just seeing how God has been faithful to his people in the past really helps us to continue forward as the church here and now. Isn't that right?
That's right. And we actually, I've heard stories even just last year of kids who brought their Bibles and were initially somewhat picked on by their friends, but then these friends came to know Christ and came to their youth group afterwards. And stories I actually just heard a couple months ago about a boy who brought his Bible to school and got picked on by a friend. And then he told that friend about youth group, invited him to youth group. And then just a couple months ago, that friend was baptized. So you never know how the Lord is working in the hearts of the people that are around you.
Do you have any like Bible verses, you know, promises that God has made to us that you'd want to share?
Of course. Yeah. So we've had different theme verses actually every single year to encourage students. I believe a couple of years ago was Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This year's theme verse is James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so I want to encourage you guys with both of those verses. God is with you, and he's not only with you, he's equipping you and strengthening you now to be a doer of the word, to go out, to live out what it means to be a believer, and to show others the love of Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you with those two this year. Again, James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only.
My guest today is Emerson Collins. He is the Focus on the Family Program Manager of Parenting and Youth. And we're talking to him about the Focus on the Family Bring Your Bible to School Day this October. I wanted to ask a little bit about kind of what this means to you too. Like, were you kind of the guy that kind of headed up the forming of this event? How did it come about?
I would actually have only been with the program about 4 years now, but I was so overjoyed to hear that the program, I actually didn't even know it existed before I came on with Focus on the Family as the program manager. Cool thing, just personally, the Lord put on my heart in college. I came to faith through a Navigators Bible study in college, and the Lord put it on my heart to just start carrying my Bible everywhere. And so I literally bring it everywhere I go now in my life, and it starts conversations, it starts relationships, it begins the invitation for me to invite people to come to my church, even just at the grocery store, at the cafe, I can have my Bible study publicly. And every once in a while, a believer or an unbeliever will ask if that's a Bible, and I can start a conversation from there. And when I applied at Focus on the Family, they told me, hey, wow, here's this guy who already carries his Bible everywhere. He'd be perfect for heading up this program, Bring Your Bible to School Day. And so it was obviously a huge God moment of I'm in the right place at the right time. And it was originally started, I believe, by Jim Daly at Focus on the Family, again, to celebrate those two freedoms that I had mentioned earlier, that Focus on the Family was feeling like we're somewhat under attack. And so all the more reason for us to kind of stand and celebrate them and highlight them as important things for our culture.
Since you guys promote family life at Focus on the Family, is my understanding, and, you know, we want to raise up children to love God, how could this event be kind of like a launching point and an opportunity to mold our child's affections for God?
I think events like this, apart from the stuff we already do at home, so like our prayer time, our time in God's Word, events like this are so helpful because it helps our kids practice public proclamation of their faith. And that's really important. I think that when we say we're a follower of Jesus, it tells the world that you're into something, you're for something that's bigger than yourself. That, at least for my son, has been formational for him, that I've got to see him grow in. When he steps out in boldness and in faith to share Christ with his friends, to say, I love Jesus, it really is personally an encouragement to my heart, but it also encourages him to know and to really believe what he's talking about. And even though he's only 8 right now, it's really encouraging to see it. Even just last year, I'll share this story. Last year, I dropped him off at school, Bring Your Bible to School Day, and I watched him go into his classroom with his action Bible, which he loves because it's like a comic book Bible, basically, and he's 8, so it's perfect. And it's got this picture of what Jesus on the front, and he goes to his friend and he says, do you know this guy? This is Jesus. And I watched then I watched the door close, and I was just so encouraged as a parent to see this childlike faith. Of course, students in every age have different approaches to how they can start that conversation with their friends. Teens probably aren't going to bring the action Bible and say, hey, do you know, have you seen this guy, Jesus? But the message is still the same, this public proclamation of faith, this standing for something bigger than yourself. In a culture, I think that in a lot of ways can be resistant to that, really is going to solidify those beliefs within you and encourage you to know what you're talking about, to know your Bible, to love your Bible, and to live a life representative of a follower of Jesus. So that's how our kids can grow through events like this.
How's managing this event kind of challenged you as the program manager at Focus on the Family?
Personally, I think it's been so unique in how I help run it. So I help run everything from the website to the Spanish translated resources to the designs and the articles and everything we write. And I come from like a business side. And so I'm very used to seeing if you do this practice, you'll get these results. But so often in ministry, and I'm thankful for this, God has a way of detaching me from the results. And praise God, every time it's been so much more than I've ever anticipated. And so like I talked about the numbers, right? 8,000 students, 2014, 1.2 million last year. I never could have imagined what God would do. And that has challenged me time and time again. I mentioned my worry this year with everything going on, that I would see a slight decrease in participation just because I was nervous about everything happening in our culture. But again, God just took it, and he continues to grow it immensely and encourage the hearts of his people and, of course, beyond. And so that's been the biggest growth aspect for me, is to just trust the Lord to continue to advance his name and truly accept his promises in the Bible, that even God wants to advance his gospel more than I do. And so he continues to advance it, continues to grow it even farther than I could ever imagine.
And speaking of advancing the gospel, where do you guys see participation coming from across the United States? And how do you see the gospel taking root maybe because of this event?
Primarily, there's three groups that we focus in on for this event. It's parents, so families directly, students, and then churches. So churches play a huge role in this event as well. And the gospel has taken root in so many schools to the point now that 10 years later, we can see the effect of it incredibly. So we see a student who brought their Bible to school, and then 7 years later, a student, the entire school is participating. We see a kid who brought their Bible to daycare, and then the daycare teacher or person saw that, and now the whole daycare is participating. And the gospel is taking root in these places and growing so much more than I could have ever imagined. So it's incredible to see Bible studies that come out of this, the movements that come out of this, the students stepping up in faith, really just in a miraculous, bold way that, again, I never could have imagined. God is at work in the hearts of young people in this nation in a way I've never seen before. And I trust that he's going to continue to fly the banner of Christ and to spread his healing word everywhere his followers go.
Well, I think I should also ask, given just like the public nature of this event, you talked about, you know, even in your own life, you bring your Bible places and it's a great launching point for the gospel. Considering, you know, the exhortation that Christ gives us to practice a lot of things in private, because he was pointing out the Pharisees like to take these religious practices and make it a point of pride. As a parent, what advice would you give parents to help train children to pursue humility while also letting, you know, their light shine, shall we say?
That is a great question, Spencer, because there is that balance between pride and humility, but we also want to be sharing the gospel and evangelistic in the way that we publicly talk about Jesus and the way we represent him before others. We are ambassadors for Christ, but it's not to boost our own egos. And so one of the tests I have for parents when you're training your kids to share the gospel is to ask them a question they don't know the answer to and to see how they respond. Because it does take humility to say, I don't know. I don't know that answer, but I would love to find it out with you. But if you see this heart of trying to parse some things together and trying to push something together, likely the root of that could be that they're just striving for an answer to try to continue to appear knowledgeable or to appear like they have the right answers, when honestly, none of us have all the answers. And it takes humility to admit that, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't think that's right. And I want to look into this for you. So again, my encouragement is, hey, let's go to church together. Approach the topic with humility, approach evangelism with humility, understanding that, and C.S. Lewis has a great analogy, understanding that we're just two poor, hungry, starved people. And you're just coming to this person saying, I found the bread. Let's go get it together. That's the approach. We're both sinners. We're all sinners in desperate need of Christ. It's not that I'm better than you or I'm closer to God than you are. It's that I'm a sinner who needs Jesus and so are you. And so let's go to him together.
Well, how can our listeners pray for this event?
Man, pray for the students, pray for the churches and the teachers who participate too. Pray that the Lord would move mightily and that especially right now that our nation would be receptive to the message of the gospel. You mentioned the whole Charlie Kirk thing and his memorial service was beautiful and in a lot of ways very gospel-centered, and that the response from things like this, from horrible things like this, especially for Christians, would not be that we go and pick up our guns or we latch onto our rights or we become these like activists, but that we would pick up our Bibles and we would be quick to administer the healing balm of the gospel to our culture. Pray for our nation. Pray for our culture. Pray for the hearts of students that have yet to receive the gospel and bring your Bible to school day, and that God would use us to go and share the word with them.
Is there anything else that I have not asked about that you'd like to draw out about this event or encourage our listeners or anything to this effect?
If I could leave you with one last thing, it would be our theme verse, James 1:22, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if you are interested in any of the things I talked about and curious about any of the resources like that legal memo or the conversation guides, you can check out our website, bringyourbible.org. You can sign up and get emails from us. And of course, please share your story of how the day went on social media using our hashtag bringyourbible. And I would love to talk about your story and how it went on interviews like this one.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Focus on the Family's Emerson Collins, talking about Bring Your Bible to School Day. Go to bringyourbible.org. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Nate Brooks on living with a loved one who has chronic pain.
And I really believe that people in churches are well-hearted and good-intended, and yet also recognize that when catastrophic suffering befalls people, perhaps the way that you think would be best to care for them isn't what lands the most. And we want to make sure that our efforts to care are actually interpreted as care and perceived as care.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People.